Do you need answers? Is there a need for a true spiritual and prophetic encounter with God? Join Dr. Candace Smitherman and various relevant prophetic voices from around the world. Become enlightened as we walk down the true road to an authentic spiritual encounter. You will experience the glory of God with Dr. Candace and the Glory Roadshow.
We're entering into the month of Tammuz. The word Tammuz, actually, is a Babylonian name for the Hebrew month. Why would the Jews name one of their months with a Babylonian name? Tammuz is actually the name of an idol and a false god. And they named this month Tammuz because it's actually a month of mourning. All right, not right away. They don't start mourning until the 17th of Tammuz, okay? So 17 days from now. And then that goes on from 17 Tammuz to 9 of Av. Av is the fifth month. That it's the month that precedes Tammuz. Let me tell you what happened here in this month of Tammuz. Here's some biblical facts that are very, very interesting. Okay, so here I started off to say, well, why would they name it after a Babylonian idol? Because they want to remember their own idol worship. Because this is the month in which Moses brought down the Ten Commandments, and he found that the Jewish people were worshiping a golden calf, which then caused him to break the Ten Commandments. He broke the tablets. This is why they mourn, one of the reasons they mourn, for the three-week period of time, because it's a time to remember what happens to our lives if we make the choice to worship idols and not the one true God. And so Moses had gone up to Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. When he came down, this is what he found. And so even today, the Jewish people mourn the fact that Moses had brought these valuable, the law of God, who God is, from the mountaintop all the way down, and found his people worshiping an idol. So you can remember that. So the 17th of Tammuz, we just count 17 days from now, and I'll be talking about it again, as I always like to teach you guys all about the Hebrew calendar and its relevance, okay? Also, what happened is in the year 70, the walls of Jerusalem were breached by the Roman army. Okay, another fact of Tammuz, all right? Here's another fact of Tammuz. On the 3rd of Tammuz, which is just a couple of days from now, all right, in 1272 BCE, the Lord actually stopped the sun for Joshua, stopped the actual sun during that time, okay? So we see a shift where eternity is stopping the earth realms. And remember, I've been teaching a lot on the power of eternity and walking out the earth realms. In the earth realms, every time you walk, this has already taken place in the eternal realms. So miraculously, on the 3rd of Tammuz is a day that we remember that the sun was stopped. All right, those are just some facts. I'm sure I'll have more facts for you as the month goes on. Look to your neighbor and say, I love the facts. Listen, there's just too much fake news these days. You guys might as well be getting the truth. Come on. All right, I'm happy to be a proclaimer of the truth. All right, so let's talk about these new mantles that have been released. And why are they released now? Why God has been making this very, very large statement to his people over the last 10 days, 2 weeks, as we ended the month of Sivan and we're stepping here into the month of Tammuz, about the fact that there were portals of heaven that were open and wisdom was coming forth and the angels are bringing these new mantle assignments. These new mantles that you received, and even last week on Wednesday, the Lord gave me a vision that you were receiving them. Now, as receiving them, okay, to receive a mantle means that what's come from heaven is that there's a new assignment for you. There's a new anointing, and the mantle is a covering of glory that comes upon your life so that you are able to carry out the plans and purposes of God on the earth. You've been gifted with natural giftings. You have a personality that was specialized in heaven just for you. You've been set apart, anointed, appointed. Receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Become a royal citizen, a member of his royal priesthood. You've now received a spiritual gift, which means that each one of you, when you receive his Holy Spirit, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you now have spiritual gifts that come forth for the blessing of the body of Christ to be built up so that we can begin to rule and reign in the earth. And so when the Lord says he's releasing new mantles, okay, some of those are at whatever new mantle it is that's coming upon you, it's coming upon you to help you carry out what the call of God is on your life that matches your personality, your natural giftings, and your spiritual giftings. Now, these new assignments may change, they will change throughout your lifetime, okay? And so once you received last week is for this season coming forth, okay? It's really going to start to build and be something that you wear well, starting in the Hebrew year 5782, which is going to happen at Rosh Hashanah on September 6th when the calendar turns over. So why would now be a time that God would be releasing these mantles? Because when a mantle is released and we accept it, and we accept it by faith, we have an identity shift. We have to begin to start to get in line mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, with what's happened to us. God begins to open up our eyes, ears, smells, tastes, and touch to the different territories that he wants us to take. And so he's got to give us some time. See, the eternal realms have already said it, and you're already walking in it from eternity perspective, but the earth realms have got to catch up with eternity. Okay? They got to catch up with what's already been said. And so since we're in an earth suit, though we're eternal beings, we're in an earth suit, we, our minds, our souls, have to catch up with what has happened eternally and on the eternal time clock. Can I get an amen? That, by the way, means you understand what I'm saying. Amen. Okay. So you've got to start to get into alignment. You've got to start making preparations, plans. You've got to start taking some time to sit with the Lord and begin to speak to him about what change must I make in my life to come in alignment with you so I can flow in this new mantle assignment that you've given me, Lord. What relationships have to change? What new faith, leaps of faith do I need to take, Lord, in order to say, Father, I agree with you and I'm going to step in to this new territory? What is the strategy or the one thing that you're asking me to do that will be an indication that I believe this change has been made? Until we activate what heaven has said over us, we will not see it come to pass in the earth realms. Now, since last week, last Wednesday, how many of you sat down with the Lord and began to speak to him about this new mantle? I want to see a show of hands. Don't make me cry right now. Don't make me cry. Please. If you all represent the majority, we're in a bad way. Okay, just saying it. Not one hand went up. Now, assess that. Was that lack of faith? Was that I forgot once I left church on Wednesday? Was that I kind of believe it, I really don't believe it, sounds good? I don't know. You figure it out. Figure it out. But nothing's going to move forward unless you receive a word and you activate that word. How many people give you a prophetic word and you won't do anything in regards to the prophecy that was received except for just sit around and wait that it's going to show up? You're not activating the word that has gone out to activate you to step into the things that God has for you. I hear this all the time from people. Well, I got a prophetic word, but you know what? I haven't seen it come to pass. And you know what I say? So what have you done to facilitate the word? Well, nothing. I was just waiting. Well, nice on the wait, but that's not how it works. When the Lord speaks a word, he's expecting movement. Movement is an affirmation that what was said was believed and taken to be truth. Come on, you hear what I'm saying? You can't use the excuse, I got a prophetic word and it hasn't come to pass. You're a part of the prophecy that was spoken. So last week, new mantles were released. You should be scratching your head saying, what does that mean and how can I become a part of that word? If we don't do that, we won't expect to see the fulfillment of what's been spoken. Now, it doesn't matter if it was last Wednesday, if it's tonight, if it was 3 months ago. When the word of God goes forth, it is activated when it hits your mind, your will, and your emotions. And at that point, you have a free will choice to step out and do something with it or to bury that thing. Now, I'm just teaching you the truth. Maybe it's time to activate your past prophetic words. Get out your journal, go back, read the ones that haven't come to pass and say, Lord, what must I do for this? Because if you don't, you may be missing the best part of the process. Why is the best part? Because you miss the relationship with God if you don't obey his voice when it goes forward. The relationship with him is why you come to church on a Wednesday. Instead of go home and get in your pajamas and watch TV. Am I right? What makes you sit in traffic for an hour if you live across the bridge? It's because a word is being spoken that's going to come and change and transform your life. Right? Whoa. If you hunger for the word, then do what the word says. Come on. Then you will reap the benefits of that, which is the fruit that comes forth when we have heeded the word. Come on, y'all know the parable of the sower and the seed went out. And as the seed is the word of God, and the Lord says, when the seed goes out, there's a lot of different things that happen to it. Sometimes it falls on rocky soil and it never goes in. Okay, then when the winds and the rains come, poof, that seed never made it in the ground, right? Then sometimes the seed goes in, but there's things that choke it. That the deceitfulness of wealth is one of them, right? Basically, it's provision. Your needs for provision, protection, and acceptance are going to choke that seed, all right? The enemy is going to do whatever he can to make you focus on that thing instead of nurturing the seed. Think this week, what came into your life that caused you not to nurture the seed? Maybe that's the relationship you got to end. Maybe that's the thing that's coming to steal all your time when you need to be nurturing the seed. How many of y'all plant a seed up here during tithe and offering time, but you didn't pray over it and you didn't ask the Lord to do anything with it? You just came up and you dropped it in a bucket. Well, that's nice that you were obedient to drop it in the bucket, but every act of faith will produce something. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get in on what it is that I'm planting. I'm going to get in on what it is that I'm hearing, what it is that I'm receiving. See, there's some things that got to be shifted in our life. You have to decide how important is this word and what will you do with it when you hear it. The Lord says he's released new mantles. Now, it's going to take a while for you to get a handle on your new mantle, which is why this is a pre-promotion time, and you will not fully start walking in this thing until August, because it's going to take you that long to wrap your head around it. But if you're not seeking him for it, and you're not seeking him for understanding, you're not seeking him for strategy, then you're not going to see the outcomes. Today, Joan Hunter was on my television show on Wednesdays, three times a month. I do a prophetic live or at 1 o'clock, and so she came on. She's in Texas, and her parents, Charles and Frances Hunter, they were healing evangelists, and she has carried on their healing evangelistic ministry for many, many years now. But she came on to pray, prophesy for people, but also to share about a new book that she has coming out called, I believe it's Just Do It. I think that's the name of it. And it's all about how to have your God-given dreams fulfilled. One of the things we talked about on the show was the fact that there would be no way that she or me or anybody else is going to be able to fulfill their God-given dreams unless they continue to plow and to work hard at what it is that God has said. So she took the words that were spoken over her, and she worked those words until they produced the result, right? All the years that I've had prophetic words, I have taken them and I have worked them until I have seen the manifestation. Yes, there's a waiting period, but the waiting period isn't because I didn't engage with God and work toward whatever it was that he said that I believed. It's because he had to grow me, you, all of us, in the character that it takes to carry out the word that's been spoken. So maybe when you hear the word about new mantle assignments coming, you need to be asking God, what is it in my character that needs to adjust and I might carry this mantle the way you want me to into this new season so that my sphere of influence will expand? I'm telling you right now, this great sphere of influence that you spend time praying and asking the Lord about is not going to happen unless you water your seed. Unless you get in that closet with him. In that private place, intimacy with him will help grow this seed. Beginning to ask the right questions. Even if you got all the wrong questions, my daddy's good. He'll get you the right questions in due time. You may start out with all the wrong questions. In your prayer life, it may be all about you for the first 15 minutes until you can finally get on him. But however it works itself out, he sees that you're being obedient and you're carrying it forth. That level of commitment means you will see the words spoken out of your life come to pass. It will come to pass. There may be a period of time, but the time is because the word was spoken into the earth from what was written in eternity, and now it's got to carry itself forth through watering and through time management and through character training and all the things that come to see the culmination of it. Now, let me talk to you about Elijah and Elisha, because this very similar thing happened with Elisha when he met Elijah. And so we're going to go to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19. Okay, now, let me give you some backstory here. So in this particular passage of 1 Kings 19, do your homework and read it. It's the word of God coming forth to change you, transform you, and get you in alignment. 1 Kings 19, the backstory is that here we have Elijah, who just had his great Mount Carmel experience where he exposed those who were worshiping the gods of Baal. And he had, God showed up and God won, basically, and made himself known that he was the one true living God. Amen. But here we have the prophet who's seen all these amazing things happen, and he was actively a participator in it. And what does he do? He runs for his life when it's done, scared as could be, that Queen Jezebel was going to kill him because she says, I'm coming after you for what you've done. This great man of God partnering with God to bring down the gods of Baal and Queen Jezebel ends up running, and he goes and he hides. And he's fed by an angel, comes to feed him. And the word says that he went on a day's journey, and he sat down under a juniper tree. And the word says he requested from himself that he might die. It's how bad things got for him after that happened. There was so much that racked himself from a psychological standpoint. And see, that'll happen to you. You might see the supernatural power of God happen, but your head hadn't caught up with what he just did. Right? And so he's scared. He's got a fear of death on him. And so he goes and he hides and he says, listen, he goes and sits under this tree and he says, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not any better than my father's. And as he laid his head and he slept under this tree, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat, Elijah. And so he looked and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he ate and he drank and he laid down again. So he was exhausted from this. And then the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. The journey is too great for you. And so he rose and he ate and he got his strength for 40 days and 40 nights. And then he went to the Mount Horeb to meet the Lord. And while he was there, he began to start to cry out to God. And he says, oh God, you know, I've been so jealous for you, Lord, and I've been jealous for the children of Israel. What that means is, you know, I've done everything you've asked me, Lord, and I've done it for you, and I've done it for the children of Israel. And he says, you know, Lord, I've slain these prophets with the sword, and I've thrown down the altars, and now I'm the only one left, and they seek to take my life. They seek to kill me. So he's lamenting there, and he said, you know, the Lord tells him to go and to stand on the mountain, and the Lord passes by, and he passes by in three different ways. He passes by in wind. He passes by in fire. He passes by in an earthquake, and each one of those times, all right, that's how the Lord began to reveal himself to Elijah. And the word says that when this was happening, Elijah had wrapped himself in his mantle. Okay, he wrapped himself in his mantle when the fire and the earthquake and the wind was going. The mantle was the covering. Okay, he had a covering upon himself. This covering was representative of his anointing, his calling. And so finally the Lord comes and speaks to him in this still, small voice. All right. And then the Lord says, go return, Elijah. This is all I'm going to show you, but I now want you to return. Go back. And he said, on the way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you are there, I want you to do something for me. Okay. So here we've got this span of time where this great Mount Carmel experience happens, and the gods of Baal are revealed, and then he runs for his life. He goes to Mount Horeb. And when all this is finished, okay, then all of a sudden the Lord says, now go, Elijah. Like, we're finished here. I'm now sending you to go do some things. He says, it's time for you to go work your mantle, right? There's a reason why you've been called, set apart, and anointed. And yes, that happened during the showdown at Mount Carmel, but there's still things I want you to do. And so he says, I'm sending you to do three things. And he says, I want you to anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And then Jehu, I want you to anoint to be king over Israel. And then Elisha, I want you to anoint him to be prophet. Prophet with you, prophet in thy room, okay? And so then he begins his journey, and he's heading out. And the next scriptures, which is the ones you're going to finally see on the screen, verses 19 through 21. And so Elijah comes upon Elisha, the son of Shaphat. And Elisha, what was Elisha doing? Elisha was plowing. Ever feel like that? Ever feel like all you're doing is plowing. Same thing, doing it again. I'm making the donuts again. I'm back in the same place again. I'm doing it again. That word, plowing, is a Hebrew word, karash, which actually means to be deaf but holding your peace. Does anybody hear what I'm saying? He was plowing. He was plowing and doing the same thing over and over. He was being silent. He was being deaf. He was holding his peace. He was plowing the land with 12 yoke of oxen before him. The word 12 is a governmental number. It actually is double six is what it is in this particular case. So there's 12 yoke of oxen. And he was near the end of the 12th, okay, the 12th oxen. And he had been going. And he was plowing these oxen. Now, that word oxen means to break forth, to consider, to inquire. So as he's plowing, it means that he is holding his peace, monotonous, one right after another, doing the same thing with the oxen. He's inquiring of the Lord, and he's ready and waiting. He's just waiting while he's working for his breakthrough. Is there anybody in the house who is waiting for their breakthrough? Amen. So he's working monotonously, waiting for his breakthrough. And along comes Elijah, sent by the Lord. And Elijah walks by him when he's on the last oxen, the 12th oxen, okay? Which is a governmental word. It's a word of governmental authority. And it's there that Elijah puts his cloak upon Elisha. And that word mantle is the Hebrew word adareth. It means, it's kind of broken down into a couple words that really means large, powerful, glorious, goodly, noble, princely, mighty, all right? It's a magnificent word, okay? It means magnificent. And here Elijah just throws it upon Elisha. As Elisha has been chosen by the Lord. And Elijah is completing his task. He's doing what he's called to do as a prophet of the Lord. He's a sent one. Guess what? We're all sent ones. You're sent in whatever capacity you're sent. He was sent as a prophet. Maybe you are sent as a teacher. Maybe you're sent as a healer. Maybe you're sent as an administrator. Whatever you're sent to do, you're sent by the king to do it. And you have a mantle for it. Means you've been set apart, anointed, appointed, and you have God's glorious covering over you to accomplish that thing. So when Elijah passes by Elisha and casts the mantle upon him, then he left the oxen, Elisha leaves the oxen, and he runs after Elijah. And he says, let me kiss my father and mother, and then I'm going to follow you. Okay, so he's saying, whoa, like, I just got this mantle on me, and I've been sitting here for I don't know how long, how many days, how many weeks, how many years do I get up in the morning and plow this land and prepare it and get ready? And today is the day that I've now received a new mantle. But wait, Elijah, I got to go back and fix something. In other words, he's saying my head cannot wrap around. The life that I've been leading cannot wrap around the new thing that has just been placed upon me. I don't know, but I got to at least go back and talk to the relationships that I used to have and begin to start to pull things.
You've been watching The Glory Road with Dr. Candace Smitherman. She can be seen all over the world. If this ministry has been a blessing to you, plant a seed in the ground. You can support by going to CandaceSmitherman.com. Remember, all donations are tax deductible.